They smelled like smoke. You know, they smelled horrible. But this is where they ended up. Prior to them, you know, smelling like smoke and feces and yesterday's trash, these children were at home with their mother, getting a bath every night, eating every night. But the system found that unfit for those children based off of false accusations, nothing that could be proven, stripped away from her, nearly landed her into the nearest asylum because she couldn't comprehend as to why the system was working against her when she was a single mother doing the best that she could do, working hard every day. You know, it's something different if it was a drug addict mother. Okay, the child is not being kept well, you know, not fed possibly. There's grounds there. You know, usually people go on these highs. They go on a rave high where you don't see them for a couple of days. The kids are basically taking care of themselves. That, in this case, was not the case. But still, you pull these kids out of a warm home into a cold shelter with nothing. Because usually when they take them from the home, they leave with whatever they have on. And it doesn't matter if your mom or dad bought you the finest of everything. You're gonna wear $5 clothes at that point. There's a budget. You have a budget. Okay, and if the children needs furniture at the new location, they'll give them a voucher. Mind you, this is what I'm being told. I don't know how, you know, the foster parent system is, but from what I'm being told by a worker that handles these type of cases, you know, she's telling me, listen, we give them a voucher. We give them vouchers to clothing stores. If they choose to use it, they will. But sometimes they feel as though they can't cash it in and get the cash. So the child goes around looking crazy. They don't want to get a check made out to a department store. They want a check with their name on it. These are the foster parents that they have sucking down the budget money and cooperating with the system, and they're participating in the act of theft. How come they're not charged? These children have been traumatized. They've been traumatized. We're not even going to go back to Elysiana Carter. She came out of a warm house too. Okay. And guess what? She was thrown into a cold place, a very dark place. And the end result, she was murdered. That was the end result for the protection of the umbrella system that your children are being placed in. So people, wake up, get your families involved, get your close friends involved. Do not let them use your child as a money pawn. You heard it from the horse's mouth. It's a money pawn. They were trying to sell Mike on everything. We'll give you housing. You need a house? We'll make sure you get it. You need a car? We can assist you with that too. And another thing, a single dad? I've never heard of a single dad ever getting custody, full custody, mind you, of their child. Why would they give a single dad custody? Wouldn't they have wanted him to be like, you know, the foster care system? He's a, you know, married guy, foster care mom. She has a family. She has children. She knows how to care for children. They don't know anything about this man beyond the judge saying, I will not let you corrupt him. it's just really bad. We're going to let him have custody of his child. The judge, not the paper pushers, not the kidnappers. Very sad thing. You know, I can't even fathom the type of abuse these kids endured. I can only imagine what went on behind the scenes, because they paint a great picture. And meanwhile, like I said before, and I'll say it again, you put the rape victim with the rapist, and this is the end result. You create a damaged product, and this product is going to be forever damaged. And it's nothing that anybody can do to help them. Once you put them into that system, it's over for them. I had a young lady that shared a story with me about giving up her daughter because the daughter was doing drugs. She was a runaway. The mother had no control. The father, he was in prison. And the father's family actually tried to get custody of this, her daughter. And they refused to let the family members have custody of her. So instead of the battle and the fight, she actually gave her daughter up for adoption to a family. And she says that, you know, when she did the adoption, DHS came in, filed documents with the court and said, "Halt, we have control of this situation, not you, miss. We carried her for 9 months. We gave birth to her. So we get to make the decisions." These people are granted too much power to make these type of decisions with the lives of children, babies who can't fight for themselves, who you know, has this third party voice, the voice of reason, supposedly, the one that I refuse to be a part of, that gangster group, CASA. No, I declined, by the way. I don't know if any new listeners are on, but I declined to be a gangster and to go in and lie on people, on good people, and say they don't deserve their children when in fact they did. Now, there are reasons for it. I don't know if it was funding reasons, keep the numbers up, create a new budget. We have more head count. Now we can move forward with more money to increase, you know, the head honcho salary, because the volunteers do not get paid. My services were going to be for free. Okay. So there was no silver ticket in it for me, but it was a silver ticket for someone else. And that was my experience, my personal experience dealing with CASA out of Newark, New Jersey, that I declined to be a part of. Yeah, you know who you are. I just got a message. You know who you are. So, you know, I don't have to call names. You know, I'm glad that they're listening in. But maybe this will get to someone else, and someone else will come in and make a difference in a child's life that's stuck in the same ring around the rosy merry-go-round of a system that poisons these children and actually sets them up for failure. Because guess what? When the money runs out and the child is of legal age to be independent, you get booted out like crumbs just scraping off the table. They're useless to you. The crumbs are no good. Vamalos, as they say in Spanish. You're out of here. Listen, I got a lot to tell you guys today, but hang tight. We're going to do a commercial break. I'll be right back.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home, fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors. No home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is. No repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Hey guys, G Buys Philly. Remember that guy? He's all over the billboards in Philadelphia. G Buys Philly. By the way, G Buys Philly, thank you for my t-shirt. I really like it. Really nice shirt. I just wanted to tell you that someone wanted me to take on a story of a young man that went missing. I can't disclose the name because it's kind of tragical right now. The good thing is the young man is not deceased. You know, people call in, they want to find out things. There was another young lady that contacted me about a case in Kentucky. If you're listening to the show, you can send me a message and I will be more than happy to look into that case for you to see where we can go with it. But she said it was like a dead end for the detectives that were working on it. And I can honestly say, Tamiko cracks the case. You know, I'm not the brightest bulb, but I'm very well lit. So, you know, I'm going to go back to this young man that went missing, allegedly, in Philadelphia. He went missing. His mom was distraught. She says, look, my son is missing. He went out to a club one night with some friends. He's 17 years old. I'm trying to figure out how did he even get in the club at 17, but they do make fake IDs, so there's a strong possibility that that's how he got in. You know, I found out later on, because I wanted more details on what happened, because the mother never reached back out to me. You know, I needed specific details, like what club was he at? Who were the friends he was with? What actually happened to the son? You know, is there a body on the ground somewhere? Because, you know, that's Philadelphia. You're looking for somebody, you'll find a body somewhere. So I'm finding out now that the young man that was allegedly missing, the mom was so worried, looking all over for him. The dad was, you know, about to hang himself because his son is probably dead somewhere under a car. Come to find out, the 17-year-old made himself intentionally missing, okay? I'm going to just say this. He kidnapped himself. He kidnapped himself from the rest of the world. And why did he do that? Because he was wanted for rape. He was wanted for raping not just one girl. He was wanted for raping multiple girls the night that he went missing. Now, that is a nail in the coffin. So we might as well say that that's a closed case. You know, I didn't even have to get involved to reach out to Philly PD to say, hey guys, I got, you know, some leads on this case. Where are you with it? Let's talk. Let's chat. Long story short, the parents don't want to talk about it. They're like, oh, all bets are off. We don't want to discuss him. We don't want to discuss anything that looks like him. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, the dad was on suicide watch, literally. The mother is calling me, I would say midnight, 1, 2 in the morning. And my husband's like, who's calling you at this hour? And I'm like, it's the boy that went missing from the club. So it took a crazy twist that he kidnapped himself and he went into hiding. But he was found and he is alive and breathing. He is currently incarcerated. I must tell you that part. So don't be in fear that there's a rapist on the loose. He is in custody right now. But what I will touch on a little bit is someone sent me some information that they wanted me to speak about. And it was in regards to a baby a 2-year-old boy in Philadelphia that was murdered by a mother's girlfriend. I'm trying to figure out how that whole relationship went, because from my understanding, the girlfriend, who is Nez Smith, that's her name, Nez Smith, Jediah Nez Smith, she pleaded guilty to third degree murder. She was basically telling people that the baby was with her in the Poconos or something to that effect. The actual family member that contacted me on this story wanted me to also know that the woman, Nesmith, who murdered this 2-year-old boy, she actually murdered him in 2017. And she called her boyfriend to come and dispose of the body. Well, not her boyfriend, but an ex-boyfriend, because I think she's like into women now, according to what the family member sent me on this particular case. And the family member had some strong concerns about the whole story. You know, families sometimes get involved to what capacity, we'll never know. It's top secret between family members. You know, it's just like the King Hill case, by the way. I'll just brush this across to you. Someone sent me, I'll tell you her name. Her name is Avery. Avery does not mind me mentioning her name, is what she said. She's from Philadelphia. And she wanted me to ask this question. She wanted to know if anyone thought maybe there was some foul play with King Hill and his mother and not the caretaker. That's what was, you know, brought to me to bring out on the show, being as though we talked a lot about King Hill and his disappearance. By the way, this baby that was killed in Philadelphia, Poconos area, the body was recovered, guys, by the way. So, you know, usually you do find a body somewhere, somehow. A body usually turns up. If not, the teeth will turn up for sure. You know, teeth always appear no matter what happens in someone's life. Teeth always have a weird way of appearing, you know. So for sure, King Hill at the time of his disappearance was 2 years old. And they do have DNA on file because he was a baby that went to the doctor thanks to Playing House Dad and babysitter Tiana Parks. He did go to the doctor. So there is DNA on file for him. So at some point in time, if anything arises from this, hopefully they can do a comparison and see if, in fact, it's him or if, in fact, he's still just a missing child and was given to the wrong person in the hands of the right person, you know, or vice versa. Could have went either way. We still don't know, but we still have our eyes and ears open and we're listening. My ears are growing like Poconos in the Pinocchios, Poconos in the Pinocchios. I think I said that right. But I just wanted to tell you guys that we're looking forward to Tweety Bird, who had some strong allegations about these children being locked in a basement, which was really weird to me. And I had to investigate that a little bit because, you know, it's confirmed. We like to confirm stuff on this show. So I like to just confirm certain things. And I actually had a chat with a worker, you know, that works in this particular building. You know, it was just a basic conversation. She didn't know me, this particular worker, and I didn't know her. I just happened to catch her coming out of the building because I was actually going to meet with another parent that's in the DHS system that actually wants to come on the show. They have an active case going on and they're really struggling with a lot of different things, and they wanted to come on the show and they wanted to discuss some things to you know, our listeners about what they're going through and how their children were taken and what is the outcome now of one of their children. But I was talking to a stranger and she basically had, you know, her badge around her neck. They walk around with their badges, their ID on their neck. So I caught her attention. Hey there, hi, I'm a stranger. You don't know me, I don't know you, but I have a few questions for you. I just wanted to find out about children in the basement of a building. And I told her who I was. I got a podcast, you know, a lot of listeners, and this was mentioned on my show. And I wanted to find out if there's any truth behind it. And this worker said to me, she said, and I was thinking, she was saying, would probably say, lady, are you crazy? We care about the kids. Why are we having them locked in the basement? Are you crazy? This worker said to me, and she looked me in my eyes and said, that's something you'd have to see for yourself. And I am not at liberty to answer any questions in regards to that particular situation. And my mouth hit the ground. And by the way, she did say this before she walked off. She said, I could lose my job for speaking to you, but you have a good day. So I said, you have a good day as well. So that is still yet to be confirmed, but I was just expecting a different kind of answer to that question. I mean, you know, we're dealing with kids here. I would hate to hear about a kid being locked in a basement because you have nowhere else to put them. You know, it happens because, you know, I would say adults, not kids. Never heard of an adult being locked in a basement unless they're being held captive or kidnapped or something like that. But it was a little weird. It was a little weird. The whole conversation was a little weird. It goes back to Tweety Bird that was on the show, which Tweety Bird is going to come back on the show because there's thousands of questions that listeners had, and we want to address them because it's a lot. It's a lot. And I don't want to give anybody any false information. I want them to hear it from the horse's mouth. And that way they can use their own determination on what is real and what is not. And, you know, this academy, Word's Mouth, where she said she was kept as a kid and she was stuck in the butt with needles to like drug her up to contain her. And all she was trying to do was have a voice for herself. And it was like, don't you speak. We're going to drug you right now. Be quiet. You know, and it kind of makes me wonder about the young man that was murdered there by the staff. You know, it didn't say he committed suicide. It said he was murdered by a staff member. That's what the article said. I didn't say it. You got to get with the media on that. They wrote the article. I'm only reading it. And by the way, guys, I actually confirmed it. And I was wondering why the kid was a John Doe. Like, he had a name. He was being paid for to stay in that Word's Mouth Academy. He had a name. He was somebody's child. It was never mentioned or like he was forgotten about. Mind you, there was no staff ever arrested either. All the excuse was the staff was not well trained to contain this type of behavior. So I can understand it, you know, according to Tweety Bird, of being drugged up and them actually saying, guess what? We're going to drug you. We're going to rape you. We're going to do whatever we need to do to get you under control. And that's basically what happened there. You know, I've had in-depth conversations with Tweety Bird, and she shared some very intimate things with me in regards to what happened to her at Word's Mouth. And I'm blown away that the government would even fund such an agency. By the way, they still have two other facilities open today in Philadelphia. And then I think they may have another one out of state, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's Tennessee or something like that. But I think people need to know where your tax dollars are going, since the government has everybody on a budget. you should know where your tax money is going. And if it's to take care of these children that are supposed to be in good hands, it you should have a voice as well to say something in regards to your advocacy on behalf of a child. And I believe that taxpayers should be advocates for these children today, because you have more to lose. I'm a taxpayer. I'm getting taxes deducted for things I don't even know about, you know? But it's all for that particular system that is supposed to do the right thing. You know, the government is allocating these funds. The children should be well taken care of. Like, you know, Mike told me upon talking to him, his kid was smelling like smoke. Smoke and feces. You know, that's not good care of a child. You know, his breath was bad. They weren't brushing his teeth. You know, it's a very sad position to put someone in that does not have a voice. And next week, hopefully I can get my cousin on the line. I went to his daughter's birthday party. She just turned 3. He was not permitted to see her while she was in DHS custody because the mother lied to him and said he threw the baby to the ground and basically mauled her like he was some pit bull. So he just reunited after being found not guilty of those horrible accusations. And his 3-year-old is finally getting to know him, which is very, very crazy. So, you know, it's a tough call when it comes to, you know, the judges that makes the decisions on these cases, because they're relying on third-party information to be accurate and truthful. And a lot of that information is not accurate and truthful. You know, and when these people, paper pushers, start making up stuff just to appease the crowd because they want notoriety for writing a one-line sentence and taping and pasting the rest. It's a lot involved here, folks. You know, these people don't take the time out to read. If they did read, then they would know more than I do about certain cases. And it shows. Work ethics are very bad. You're paying for, you know, they used to have potluck for dinner where, I never ate that, by the way. I had an American friend tell me about potluck. It's when they take all the rubbish out of the fridge that they've had all week long and they mix it together on a Friday night, and it's potluck. So it's like they're dealing with these kids like it's potluck. They're taking all the ingredients, putting it in one pot, seeing what they can get out of it, what kind of flavor, what kind of taste, and they're eating it up. You know, it's bad for people to look at kids as potluck, but at the end of the day, these are community babies. They're in the community, you know, and I'm very grateful to never have been in this community, I must say, either the good side or the bad side of having my child coming back terrified, molested, beaten, starved. I've never endured that in my life with my children, and I'm very grateful to say that I've given my children the very best, as any parent would want to give their child the very best. You know, it depends on the parent. And if you are a parent, you would want to do better for your child so they can have a normal childhood. You know, I grew up in the Dominican Republic. I didn't know what it was like to wear shoes until I came to America. So guess what? My children have the best shoes because I didn't have that opportunity. But guess what, folks? We have more to talk back on our next segment next week. I look forward to seeing you guys back next week. Have a good night. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.